Open your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. The last few weeks, I've been trying to look at some of the events that took place toward the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. Today, I want to look at the raising of Lazarus from the dead. I don't know exactly when this event took place, but it was very close to the end of Jesus' ministry. As a matter of fact, this event sort of forced the hands of the Pharisees. In verse 47, the Bible tells us that after the raising of Lazarus, the Pharisees and the chief priests held a council. They called a meeting to discuss finally and ultimately what to do about Jesus. And in verse 53 tells us the results of that meeting. And that verse says, "Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death." So the raising of Lazarus was sort of the last straw, and it kind of forced the high priest and the Pharisees to finally go through with their plan to crucify Christ. I'm going to read the first 15 verses. It's kind of a long chapter, and the miracle is included in most all of the chapter. But I didn't think I'd have time to read it all this morning, so I'm going to read the first 15 verses. We'll refer to some of the other verses if you want to keep your Bible open and handy. "Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, 'Let us go into Judea again.' His disciples saying to him, 'Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." The first thing I want us to think about today is the delay. I want you to notice verse 6. It says, "When he had therefore heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the place where he was." One of the intriguing things always to me about this miracle is this delay of Jesus. Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived in Bethany. Bethany was very close to Jerusalem, really just kind of a short walk to Jerusalem, almost a bedroom community if you think of it that way. Jesus at this time was somewhere in the Transjordan area. He was about a one-day walk from Bethany, from Jerusalem. So when they sent the messenger to Jesus, it took him the day to get there. And the Bible says that he abode still 2 days where he was. Then it took him a day to get to Bethany, where everybody was. So that accounts for the 4 days, the four-day delay. I've always thought it was interesting, or odd, or whatever word you want to choose for it, that verse 5 says, points out to us that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and he waited 2 days. You would think he would have, if he loved them. I mean, this is the way we think about it. You know, if he loved them, he would have left immediately. It still would have taken him another day to get there, but he would, as soon as he heard. As a matter of fact, we think, in our minds, we think, now wait a minute, Jesus knows all things, and so he knew Lazarus was going to get sick. So why didn't he come before he got sick and heal him before he got sick? But he waited. He loved them, and he waited. Now listen, I want you to understand, sometimes there's a delay, isn't there? When we pray before God answers, before God intervenes, there's a delay. And we can always say that God loves me, and he waited. Now, there has to be a reason for the delay. Jesus did it intentionally, so there had to be some reasons for it. I don't know what they all were, but I think I have an idea on a few of them. For one thing, the delay removed all reasonable doubt. Jesus had already raised two people from the dead. He had raised Jairus' daughter, and he had raised the widow of Nain's son. Both of those resurrections took place soon after they had died and before they were buried. The Jews didn't embalm their dead, so they buried them the same day. And so these two people that had died, Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son, before they were buried, the same day that they died, Jesus raised them from the dead. Skeptics, unbelievers, critics could and did claim that Jesus didn't really resurrect them. He merely resuscitated them, that they weren't really dead because they hadn't been buried. They weren't really dead. They were just in a comatose state, and so he revived them instead of raising them from the dead. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. They wrapped him in grave clothes. They put the sweet-smelling spices and the fragrant oils, they anointed his body with those, and then they wrapped those in the grave clothes, and they put him in the tomb 4 days. The day that the messenger went to see Jesus, Lazarus died. They buried him that day. 4 days, Lazarus had been in the tomb. There was no reasonable doubt that he was dead. So when Jesus waited, and when he came, and when he resurrected Lazarus from the dead, there was no reasonable doubt that he wasn't dead. The delay removed that doubt. The delay also was to increase the faith of the disciples. If you'll notice verse 15, the last verse that we read, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He tells them Lazarus is sleeping. They say, oh, boy, that's good. You know, if you're sick, sleep is good for you. And so he tells them plainly Lazarus is dead. And then verse 15, he says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus stayed, Jesus delayed intentionally in order to increase the faith of the 12 disciples. Now listen, that's going to be important, because in just a few days after they see Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, they're going to watch Jesus as he is arrested, as he is tried, as he is brutalized, as he is crucified, as they pierce his side with a sword, as they bury his body in a tomb. They're going to see all that. And then in 3 days, some of them are going to go back to the tomb, and he's going to be gone. So they needed their faith to be increased. And one of the reasons Jesus delayed, the Bible tells us plainly, Jesus said, I did it so that you would believe. There was also something else that happened as a result of the delay, and that was a test of Martha and Mary's faith. We don't like this part. I don't like this part. Martha and Mary loved Jesus. They were believers. They were Christians, whatever term you want to put on them. They believed Jesus could help. That's why they sent for Jesus. Lazarus was sick, desperately sick, and they believed Jesus could do something to help him. They believed Jesus could heal him, probably, and so they sent for Jesus. You wouldn't send for him if you didn't think he could do something about it. But he waited, and by the time he got there, they both thought it was too late. The delay caused them to doubt. It was a test of their faith, and the result was that they doubted Jesus, that he could do anything, because Lazarus was dead by the time he got there. When I thought about that this week, I've actually been thinking about this particular passage for a couple of weeks. But this week in particular, as I thought about that, I wondered, when we pray and God delays, and doesn't it seem like he always delays? God's timetable is not the same as ours. God doesn't have a timetable. God is timeless. We work in hours and minutes and days and weeks and months and years, but God doesn't do that. He sees all time, all at the same time. And so when we pray and ask for help, whatever it may be, when the situations arise, it almost always seems like there's a delay between our prayer and God's intervention. And when he delays, do we still believe He can do something about it? When God delays, do we still trust Him? I'm going to be honest with you now. Sometimes I begin to doubt. Sometimes as Christians we think, well, maybe God isn't doing anything because God can't do anything. Or maybe God isn't doing anything because God doesn't want to do anything. Maybe He's not interested. Sometimes the delay causes us to doubt. It did Martha and Mary. But the truth is, God's timing is always best. He's never late. He's always right on time. At the instant that something needs to be done, God does it. The next thing I want us to think about is the doubt of Martha and Mary. I've already mentioned that the delay was a test of their faith, and the result of that test was that they doubted Jesus. I want you to listen to what both of them said. Both of them said the same thing to Jesus when He got there. In verse 21, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." In verse 32, the Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now, do you hear what they're saying? I thought you could have done something, but it's too late. If you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. You could have done something. You could have healed him. But he's dead. It's too late. Martha went first to Jesus and they had a little conversation. And I don't mean to be critical of Martha and Mary. They were grieving. They'd lost their brother, and they were grieving for their brother. And in their grief, they were distraught, and they probably were upset with Jesus. They may have been angry at Jesus. Those words that they spoke to Jesus may have been said in anger. Maybe they were disappointed in Jesus. So I don't want to be critical of them because of their emotional state, and I don't want to be critical of them because sometimes I'm just like them. But Jesus told Martha, He said, "Now, Martha, your brother Lazarus is going to live again." And she told Him, I think it was in verse 24, somewhere along there, she said, "Oh, yeah, I know, Lord, in the last day, at the resurrection of the last day, I know He'll live again." But she didn't say, "I believe He can live now," because she doubted that Jesus could do anything. The story goes on a little farther. Mary comes to Jesus and they have their conversation. You know, the famous verse 35 where it says that Jesus wept because of all the weeping and all the mourning and all that was going on around Him. And then we come down to a verse later in the Bible, and Jesus tells them to remove the stone. He goes to the sepulcher. He goes to the tomb, and He goes to the place where Lazarus is buried, and He tells them to remove the stone away, and Martha protests. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto Him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days." Now listen, I'm not trying to be critical, but listen, if Martha believed that Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead right then, she wouldn't have protested. She would have said, "Yes, by all means, get that stone out of the way. Let him out of there." But she protested because she doubted. Doubt is one of Satan's most effective tools. He causes us to doubt. We doubt our salvation. Probably every Christian here at some time or another has doubted your salvation. Satan is effective in causing us to doubt our salvation. I'm not sure I really got saved. You know, you hear stories, right? I can remember. I told you all this before, but I can remember. I was 8 years old when I got saved, and I'd always heard stories about Christians glowing. You know, Christians glow. I'd heard preachers say, "Well, I was walking down the street the other day, and I looked across the street, and I saw so and so, and I could tell they were a Christian because they glowed." So I got saved on Wednesday night. I believe it was Wednesday night. I got saved. I went home, went to bed, got up Thursday morning, went to the bathroom, turned on the light, and looked in the mirror, and I didn't glow. And you know what I thought? Guess I didn't get saved. Satan used what I had heard to cause me to doubt my salvation. We doubt our salvation. We doubt the love of God. When God delays, when He doesn't act, or when He doesn't do what we want Him to do, we doubt His love. We doubt His power. We doubt His presence. We doubt a lot of the things that the Bible tells us about. All those things are mentioned in the Bible, and yet sometimes we doubt the Bible. I mean, let's be honest. There are some things in this book that are, they're unbelievable. That's why the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And sometimes we read the Word of God and we doubt the Bible. And we doubt God and we doubt Jesus. And so the question is, what do we do when we doubt? Well, the answer is in this story, but it's not written down. It's in the gap between verses 40 and 41. You remember in verse 39, Martha protested. Don't embarrass us. Oh, man, he's been in there 4 days and his body's already started to decompose. And we tried to put the oils and the spices in, but he's going to stink by now. Please, oh, Lord, please don't embarrass us. Don't embarrass Lazarus. Don't disturb his body. Don't disturb his final resting place. She protested. In verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And then there's a gap. Between verses 40 and 41, look in your Bible, it's there. There's a gap. And in that gap, something happened. Because verse 41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. In the gap, Martha yielded to Jesus. She said, okay. She gave her permission. Okay. Roll away the stone. Now listen, I don't think she did that with great faith. I don't think she did that believing that Lazarus was going to come out of the grave, walk out of that grave. I think she did that still thinking that his body was going to stink and it was going to be embarrassing, but I'm going to obey Jesus. When we doubt, we simply must obey Jesus. God always honors obedience. You can't find a place in Scripture, you can't find a time in the life of any Christian who has ever lived that God did not and does not honor obedience. God always honors obedience. If you want your doubt to go away, if you want your faith to increase, obey God. He will honor obedience. He will increase your faith. He sure did for Martha and Mary. That brings us to the last thing that I wanted to notice this morning, and that is the declaration. When Martha expressed her doubt to Jesus and they had this conversation, I want you to notice what Jesus said, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, that's one of those places that's just kind of hard to believe. We have a tendency to think of death as permanent. And I think it'd be good for us if we could change the way that we think about death just a little bit. Death is not only not permanent, death is fleeting. As a matter of fact, death lasts about that long. Death is the transition from the temporary to the eternal. For those who are not Christians, for those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior, not confessed their sins and received Christ as their Savior, death is the passing from this life instantly into eternal death in hell. Now, that sounds confusing. How can you die eternally? Well, the Bible tells us that hell is a place of fire, that there are flames in hell, and that those flames burn forever. That's what the Bible says. Now, again, this may be one of those things that's hard to believe, but it's the truth. And by faith, we need to believe it, that in hell, The flames burn eternally. And it tells us that those who are in hell, and they are there because they rejected Jesus Christ. That's the only reason people are in hell. Hell is not punishment for bad deeds. Hell is not punishment for poor people. Hell is not punishment for ugly people. Hell is not punishment for mass murderers. Hell is for those who reject Jesus Christ. And those people are in those flames, and the Bible says that they are being consumed by the flames, but are never consumed. They die eternally. And physical death for the lost is the instant passing from this life to eternal death. But Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." For the Christian, death is the instant passing from this life to eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. Beverly's here this morning. Beverly, I'm sorry. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm going to say this. A week ago Friday, Alan passed away. And I had been at the house just moments before. I had prayer with him, prayer with the family. And just a few minutes after I got back home, it took me maybe 3 or 4 minutes to get from their house to my house. And just a couple of minutes after I got home, one of the boys called. I think it was Todd called and told me that Alan had passed. And I got to thinking about that a little bit later. And I thought, you know, in the time it took me to get in my pickup and drive from Sarah Lynn Drive to 12th Street, Alan went from Sarah Lynn Drive to heaven. See, death is not permanent. Death is temporary. Death is fleeting. Death is quick. Death is the passing from the temporary to the eternal. And for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's the passing from this life to eternal life in heaven. I got to tell you, I want to make that trip. I don't want to say that I'm anxious, but I'm ready. Sometimes as I get older, and I've kind of joked about that here lately, but honestly, as I get older, more of the funerals that I do are for people who are my contemporaries or younger than me. And when I do this funeral service for someone who is a Christian, I envy them just a little bit. They've left the problems and the distresses and the cares and the worries and the pain and the suffering of this life. And they've gone to be with Jesus, where there is no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no problems. The Bible says God will wipe away the tears from our eyes, and He'll be with us for eternity. Christian, I want to ask you a question. Do you trust God when He delays His answer to your prayer? Do you still believe He's going to do something? Do you still believe He can do something? When you doubt God, are you still obedient to Him? Or because of your doubt, do you disobey? Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, and I simply want to ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Would you confess your sins to Him and ask Him to be your Savior? Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'll come and play, heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to be as quiet as we can for just a moment. If you have a need this morning, if you're not a Christian and you'd like to come and be saved, listen, you come down here to these altars. Somebody will pray with you and you can be saved. If you're a Christian and you just have something you need to pray about, the altars are for Christians too. You come right on down. We already got some here. That's good. You come and pray while Sheriff plays.